Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who? Yeah, like Nevin Lawson?
He was their starting cornerback this season.
I'm just teasing.
I mean, their cornerbacks were bad, but he was the only reasonable one.
1 o'clock hour of Cody and Gold here on 610 Sports Radio. We only have 5 hours left before we head to Miami, as far as 5 hours of radio before we go to Miami.
I was like, good God, I need you back.
5 hours of radio left before we are off to Miami, and we kick off our radio road coverage Sunday afternoon. The Chiefs are supposed to arrive around, I think, like 4 o'clock or so Eastern time in Miami. So we'll be all over it. All of us going to be down there. It's going to be a ton of fun. We'll have some great guests lined up, plenty of coverage. We've got it all for you here on 610 Sports Radio. Reminder, you can interact with us on Twitter at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta, at 610 Sports KC. We're 10 minutes away from a chance at a four-pack of tickets to Royals Fan Fest as well. That's going on this weekend. And tomorrow, they're encouraging those that attend to wear red. It is still a Red Friday. The Royals have said, go ahead, bring the red to Fan Fest. Also going to be really cool. Salvador Perez going to become a U.S. citizen at Fan Fest, 4 o'clock tomorrow. So we've got a four-pack of tickets to FanFest, and these tickets will be for Saturday. But if you just want to buy tickets, you, of course, can go to royals.com/FanFest as well. Plenty of controversy thanks to Mike Florio. We discussed this a little bit, and then we had to get back out to Arrowhead for some Chiefs players. But Mike Florio, on his show yesterday, just about encouraging the 49ers to attack Mahomes in a certain way, essentially to injure him in an aggressive fashion. Just listen to this.
At a certain level, I think that, and I want to be careful here because I'm not suggesting that they try to knock him out of the game. That's not what I'm saying. But at a certain point, you trade the risk of 15 yards if you can send a message. And football is still a physical, violent game. If you can hit him, even if it's close to the sideline, even if he's maybe started into his slide, when the championship is riding on it, I think it's a different analysis. And yeah, we may give up 15 yards or half the distance to the goal line. I mean, that's the thing, Peter. If somebody had blown up Patrick Mahomes inside the five, okay, it goes from the four to the two. Right. Big deal. So again, I'm not saying that that should be part of the deliberate effort, but the Super Bowl is riding on it. And if this guy's going to think that he can just run through the defense without any physical consequence, they need to dispel him of that notion the first time he tries.
So multiple times in that, Mike Florio even phrases and says, I'm not trying to say to injure him, because he knows that's essentially what he's saying. He says it four different times to clarify, in his mind, clarify it. It's not unheard of. We've heard before, if you go out and you say, you know what, you need to send a message early, Hit him hard. That's fine. If he says that, we're not even talking about this today, Cody.
No.
The difference is he says, oh, while he's sliding, maybe go ahead and hit him hard. Oh, maybe you risk that 15-yard penalty.
He's near the sideline?
Yeah.
Go for it.
You can risk that 15-yard penalty because it's not going to cost you much if you do it near the goal line. 2-yard line, big deal. They move it a yard or they move it a half yard. Encouraging trying to injure a player. Now, he's backtracked earlier. Now, he didn't backtrack. He's tried to say we're all misinterpreting what he had to say. You guys heard the audio.
Backtrack is not how I would put it. He said, I want to be careful here because I'm not suggesting you try to knock him out of the game. That's what he was quoting back to people. I'm like, but look, what you said was they should hurt him. Like, it's not, you know, this isn't a mystery.
If you can hit
him. The way that you phrased it did not come off that way. It's not necessarily out of context, which is certainly what he felt like in this situation. I don't think that that's the case. And I'm not saying that. Like, he took offense. Like, he put out an article that said some Chiefs fans are getting a little riled up about the obvious reality that the 49ers defensive players may choose to hit Patrick Mahomes hard if he chooses to abandon protections and run. No one's saying, everybody knows that if you run the ball as a quarterback, you are risking your own injury. But you are specifically suggesting that what the 49ers should do, because it's championship week, is do it illegally within the framework of the game in order to try to hurt him to hope he gets knocked out of the game. It's very clear. There's no way to hear that different other than you kept saying, nah, I didn't mean it that way. I think someone on the text line, Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line earlier said, it's like when you say no offense. before cycling through. Like, no offense, Serta, but... And then anything I say after that, I do not get a free pass on, despite the fact I have said no offense. I don't know. I was going to insult you there, but then I was like, maybe I really don't actually want to do this. Like, I was trying to think of a fake insult that wouldn't actually be taken seriously, and then I just decided to bail on the insult altogether. But you get the point.
Yeah, I mean, he could just say it and be like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he's being a coward.
Yeah, I mean, he is saying if you can hit him, even if it's close to the sideline, even if he maybe started into his slide. We talk with Lamar Jackson all this season. People were saying, oh, at some point in time, the concern is injury risk for him. Or at some point in time, is somebody going to hit him hard and he's going to think twice about running? Like, that mindset, that's nothing new. Like, that, there's nothing wrong with saying that.
Unfamiliar.
We've heard that. The difference, again, here and why he had to even try to clarify it three times in his own statement that you heard the audio of is that he is suggesting clearly being reckless out on the field to send a message in a way that potentially could injure a quarterback, a player in the Super Bowl, and that, you know what, those penalties are worth it is what he's saying, because you might be able to knock him out of the game or prevent him from running in the future by injury. And I know he doesn't use the word injure, but when you
he
say
says knock
when
out
you
of
say,
the
when
game.
You say, when you say, when you do that, then you are inferring that 100%.
That's the exact same thing as saying, you know what the Chiefs should do to get them uncomfortable is when they go down on Jimmy G, they should go for the knees. Go low. So what if he's gotten rid of the ball? Get into those things. Make him feel like he should regret staying in the pocket. And I understand that, like, quarterbacks who run give up a certain amount of freedom from the protection that they are offered from the cozy home of their pocket. But those aren't even the plays he's discussing. He's not discussing the Ryan Tannehill versus Dan Sorensen play in the middle of the open field, or when Lamar Jackson's running in the open field, who, by the way, does very rarely take a big hit because he's so elusive. Like, you're just so worried about getting him down, you don't even worry about trying to hit him hard, because getting him down is enough. You try to hit him hard, you're probably going to miss him. In Patrick Mahomes' case, he's specifically describing plays in which it would be unacceptable to take a shot. I don't understand how he's trying to defend this. It's not just own it. You're right, Serta. I'd have a lot more respect if he's just like, yeah, what I'm trying to say is they should hit him. Maybe not dirty, but close enough. Dirty adjacent. Try to knock him out of this game because your only hope is to slow down Patrick Mahomes is to hurt him. Fine. At least then he'd own it. But instead he's like, no, I'm saying that teams definitely do that, but I didn't say that and I'm still not saying that, but also maybe teams do that. You're like, what the hell? This doesn't mean anything.
Well, it would sound a lot more well thought out if he said, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes is such a special player. The only way you're going to stop him is by hurting him.
Yeah, I'd have some respect for that take.
Instead of saying, I'm not saying you should, but they should hurt him. They should go out of their way to hurt him because it's the Super Bowl.
He did not do himself any favors, just the way he kind of
His
phrased
Twitter
everything.
His interactions since then have just
and,
been worse.
Yeah, the Twitter interactions as well. And it's interesting that he actually brings this up, because not that the Chiefs were trying to, but Garoppolo actually tore his ACL against Kansas City. Like, it's an injury has happened. Not that it was a dirty play at all from the Chiefs at the time.
Not that I recall.
No. But just that occurred in the prior matchup between these two teams.
It wasn't a scramble, though. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo's wasn't a scramble towards the sideline.
Sideline, yeah.
But also, he just kind of came up lame. It wasn't necessarily that a player went into his knee or anything like that. And he's not also suggesting retribution for that.
No.
He's just saying the way to slow down Mahomes is to hurt him. And that's only probably coming up because Mahomes has been running more lately due to the fact that teams have been dropping more back in zone because they're trying to find a way to slow him down. And it's opened up some running lanes. It's like, well, he's just running all the time. I'm like, what, like six times a game?
He's been the Chiefs' leading rusher, but it's
when he said if somebody would have blown him up on that touchdown run. I said, okay, but that what you're describing, if they would have had the opportunity to just hit him hard there, they would have. He avoided them. It's not always that easy to just hit somebody hard. It is easier to hit someone hard if you're doing it in a dirty way. While they're sliding and defenseless, while they're going to the sideline defenseless, yeah. That's a pretty easy way to actually hit somebody hard, but it's the dirty way to do it. Like, just hitting someone in the open field, nobody still has an issue with. We do understand this is football.
Coming from Florio, an overall bigger picture here, just with the game, I'm not. If you're concerned all of a sudden about something, no, that it doesn't mean a damn thing when it comes to the actual game. The Niners are going to approach whatever they feel they need to approach, and the Niners aren't. Nobody's concerned about the Niners being a dirty team or anything like that. This was just the way Florio approached it was
rambling,
just ridiculous. And it should tick. should tick Chiefs fans off, though. You're talking about injuring your franchise quarterback, the guy that got you here to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. The other guy is, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo. We mentioned the torn ACL and the trust that may or may not be there within the organization. This you and I have talked about this a few times this week, and I just don't buy into it as much, where the 49ers, because of the way they've not thrown the ball as of late, only 8 times in the NFC title game, in that Vikings game after the pick.
Only 27 times this postseason.
In the postseason whole. We've mentioned the stat. Mahomes has more second quarter yards than Garoppolo has the entire postseason and everything like that. I still don't think it's because they don't trust him. I just think some of the games have dictated that. But some other national personalities agree with you, Cody.
Look at the old set of get up. This is everybody but Greenberg talking about this very same thing.
We all keep doubting Jimmy G. I mean, some people have tried to say that they trust him a lot. But why are there questions about that when you look at the way that his team has performed when he has been their quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think the questions stem from us not seeing a lot of them in high-pressure moments. I think that people point to that New Orleans game as like the highest pressure moment where he showed up. But when it comes down to it, despite the fact that he put up lots of points and his team was awesome, like the game-winning play was because Kittle is a monster. Like, he threw a 5-yard out to George Kittle, and he broke some tackles and pushed guys' face in the dirt and got him in scoring position. So I think that's the reason why. He's been great. I think he has the best QBR of quarterbacks down in the fourth quarter throughout the regular season.
He does.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
But so he's been great in those situations. But since he's been in the playoffs, he hasn't been in a pressure situation. So it's hard to trust somebody when you haven't seen them.
Because here's what happens. You look at the numbers, and then you look at the film. When you look at the film, you go, well, K.J. Wright could have picked that one off. Ooh, Bobby Wagner could have picked that one off. But he ended up driving the football. And so you have all these things. When I look at Jimmy G, do I think he can get it done? I do. Will I be surprised if he makes some clutch throws? I will not. Would I rather not trust him? Absolutely. And that's the same way Kyle Shanahan has felt since this interception we're watching that he threw to Kendrick. He's thrown 14 passes in 6 quarters.
That is almost the exact way I feel like Sert and I were kind of describing Garoppolo on our drive back from the AFC Championship game, because obviously at that point, we felt like there was a pretty strong possibility they're going to take on the 49ers. It's, can he make some throws? Absolutely. Can he make some clutch throws? Absolutely. Has he been in a shootout and won? Sure. Do I want to trust him in a high-pressure moment? No thanks. Pass. Like, that's exactly it. I feel like the way that...
But the idea that the 49ers aren't trusting him, I disagree.
I think that Shanahan is careful with him. I think that Shanahan... I know that the numbers wouldn't necessarily fully dictate that, but the throws that he makes, I think Shanahan is careful with him. I think it's how Andy would treat Alex Smith if he were a risk taker, but he wasn't. Like, he just wasn't that player. Jimmy Garoppolo puts the ball in the defender's hands at least once a game for a potential pick. At least once on a throw he has no business throwing.
And like most inferior passers, he's a much better play-action passer than he is a guy who just has to straight drop back and scan the field, because he needs that extra time and that extra added
deception,
you know, quarter of a second or whatever it is, just to try to find somebody or look downfield, because he's a 1-2 read quarterback.
They use motion in their offense,
right?
61% of the time. That's the highest rate in the NFL. Motion is used for design. And look, I'm not knocking him because he plays within a scheme that would benefit most people. Andy Reid uses a lot of motion. He uses the second most in the NFL, although it's a fair dip down from what the 49ers use. I'm with Serta. I think a lot of what they do offensively is smart. Shanahan does a really good job designing it to highlight the attributes of Jimmy G. But if you let him freelance in a high-pressure situation, you got a 50-50 shot he's going to make a bad decision.
You're not going to give Jimmy Garoppolo as much freedom as what you're going to give a Patrick Mahomes, of course. Nobody's arguing that. I completely...
Mahomes' freedom has really grown, though.
As the season has gone on, as his career has gone on, and it's going to continue to grow. But when I'm looking at Garoppolo, yeah, I don't want Garoppolo over multiple... There's a long list of quarterbacks I would rather have over Garoppolo needing to go out and win it late in a fourth quarter down multiple touchdowns. Now, I think at the same time, let's not forget, though, yes, he's coming off the 8 attempts, is tied for the fewest in a single playoff game, but I also think he's 4-1, I think, in fourth quarter comeback, something like that this
year. He's got a 23-5 record as a starter, which is better than anybody's start through 28
games. He has found ways to win games. It hasn't just been by handing the football off to his running backs on a consistent basis. Yes, it's a little bizarre that he'll throw 8 passes in an NFC championship game and a playoff win is nuts. He's clearly going to have to throw the football more in the Super Bowl if the Niners are going to win. But I think so much of it is as well, Kyle Shanahan, we give him so much credit being this great play caller and play designer and all that. Some of that, if they truly feel matchup-wise, this is something that is more beneficial to them, just flat out whether it's the trust of the quarterback or not, and Garoppolo makes mistakes, yes, he absolutely, and he's probably going to have a turnover or two in this game, but I don't think, you view that Kyle Shanahan doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think
the perception of it based on, and I get it, when you see a guy only threw the ball 8 times, well, he must not trust his quarterback. These two guys are different, but did you think that Mike Vrabel didn't trust Ryan Tannehill? You don't think Mike Vrabel trusted Ryan Tannehill either then? Because Tannehill hadn't been throwing the ball, and you were telling me he was dangerous.
Look, it's different for the 49ers because they can pass the ball. The Titans were simply, I don't think it was about Tannehill. I think it was more about, let's put the ball in our best player's hands, which was Derrick Henry. The best player's hand on the 49ers is not Raheem Mostert most weeks. He's a very good player. He just came off a tremendous game. So someone on the text line is probably going to be like, look, idiot, that guy just had 225 yards. They still throw the ball pretty well. They didn't have to throw the ball much in that last game. They ran it down the Packers' throat. I don't know if it's so much the attempts in which, like, I don't just think blank number of attempts. 27 attempts in the playoffs means they don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's the encompassing part of the entire season where in moments like that, I think a lot of times they're a little careful with him because he's a little less careful with the ball. I'm not saying they can't trust him like that was said there on that get-up clip. You can trust, he can make some big-time throws. He can make some big-time throws and big-time moments. And I think that Shanahan probably knows that just as much as we know that because he knows him better than we do by a long shot. I do think that he puts the kitty gloves on him at times when he gets worried that it's a bad time to do that. And I think in a Super Bowl, that matters because you got to just let someone, because even with the Giants, right, we just got done talking about whether Eli Manning was a Hall of Famer. Man, in those moments, they just let Eli just do whatever. Sure, Eli. You got it, man. Call everything in the line, no motion, straight drop back. Just do your business. Find someone down the field. And other than one example, when he's been in a shootout against the Saints, I haven't seen enough of it to have a full skew of it. I'm not saying he can't turn into that or isn't that fully. I don't have enough evidence to support it, and it just makes me feel like they're a little careful with him.
Let's give away that 4-pack of tickets to FanFest out at Bartle Hall. That's Saturday, January 25th for that 4-pack. Tickets on sale now at royals.com/FanFest. We'll take the sixth caller right now to 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. Yeah, I mean, I think my approach right now just to the game on Sunday, we got a week and a half to talk about this thing still. But on February 2nd, and I think you might not be surprised, but I would be stunned if we don't see Garoppolo come out throwing the ball early.
I think
it'll
be the exact
game.
Same as it was with Tannehill. They'll do play action early to try to throw it off. But Spagnuolo, they're also not biting the way they did with Henry. They got burned on a couple of play action passes early. Spagnuolo today said not to put all of his eggs in the stopping the run basket. I think he means that. I think he knows they can get him on play action. And when Matthew says everything can kind of look the same, they're guilty of that. I think they'll be a little more base defense early to try to get a feel for which way the Niners are going to go.
I just think Garoppolo early on, whether it's play action or not, and certainly that could be it. Mostert's coming off the 200 plus yard performance, and everybody understands what I think the it's not, you know, you make adjustments as the game goes on, but I think both sides understand the game plan adjustments from what we saw from Kyle Shanahan. As Spags even mentioned today, like it's so that Shanahan does such a good job of changing things up from what you just saw even the prior week or weeks before, looks that you hadn't seen before. I think Garoppolo is going to come out. It wouldn't surprise me. You said you're not ready to pick who you think is going to win or anything like that in the game. I think this game will be in the
30s. There's too much that can happen between
now. Yeah, and I think the game is in the 30s, and it's not going to be just because Raheem Mostert is running the ball over. I think Garoppolo, I don't think it's a lack of trust. They cannot view Garoppolo as a quarterback they don't have trust in if they have any chance to win this game. And Kyle Shanahan, of course, is never going to come out and say he doesn't trust his quarterback. Duh, I understand. I'm not saying he needs to point blank tell me he doesn't trust him. You're inferring that he doesn't trust him, and you may be correct on that. I just think, I guess, Jimmy Garoppolo, what I did see in that Saints game early in the season, the shootout where before that, I was a little bit more on your side. If you would have asked me this question before that game, I was a little bit more on that side of it. I said, I haven't seen Garoppolo go win a shootout on the road in a tough environment. After that game, I remember doing a show. I led my show even saying, like, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's changed my mind on that performance because for the first time in his career, really, certainly in San Francisco, he showed he could go out there and win on the road in a shootout against a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I'm not saying zero trust. Let's not extend it to that point. But even just like, I know he averages like 248 yards per game. It's about 50 yards less than maybe Mahomes does, which is not the end all be all stat of these things. But there's only been a couple of times he's been asked to really go out there and do it. He did it against the Cardinals this year when they won by 10, and he had to go for 424 yards and four touchdowns, but threw two picks. He did it against New Orleans when he went for 349 and four touchdowns and threw a pick, which is guilty. The only other, that's it. He didn't even throw for 300 yards, but one other game, also against Arizona, mind you. A defense that was, again, we could probably ask Serta, the fantasy football expert, if you started the Cardinals defense very often this season, you probably made a very bad mistake.
Thinking of fantasy football.
You probably felt bad.
Somebody over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line said, Jimmy G helped me win my fantasy championship, therefore I believe Kyle Shanahan trust. Game over. It's over.
Settled.
Oh, he trusted him enough to win him his fantasy football championship.
So much of his yardage total this season, his completion total, his best games. Like, let's just say, like, the games in which he had over 100 passer rating, right? Yeah. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Carolina, Arizona, Green Bay, who he just obliterated almost to perfection. His passer rating was 148, but he was 253, two touchdowns, and they ran the ball all down their throat again. Baltimore and New Orleans are two, and those do stand out as being good games. But in Baltimore, bad conditions, 165. New Orleans, he was great. But that's it. Like, the rest of the games are either just fine or not that. Like, it's not to say he has no trust. Obviously, he's a starting quarterback of a Super Bowl contending team. If you don't think, I think that Jimmy Garoppolo can beat the Chiefs on a week from Sunday, I don't believe that. I obviously think the San Francisco 49ers have a very good shot in what I assume to be a very close game. I do think there are questions about trust. And not because I think that they completely don't trust him, but I think there's moments in the game when it feels like this would be his time and they back off.
Congrats to Jake out in KC Mo, the winner of the 4-pack of tickets to Royals Fan Fest. We'll have another chance of that tomorrow on the program as well. Coming up next, next opportunity at $1,000 in our national cash contest. And one Royal speaking his mind about 2018.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back inside, Cody and Gold here on 610 Sports Radio, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. It's time for your code word in our national cash contest.
1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word healthy to 72881. As in, it's healthy to cry, Gold. It's fine. H-E-A-L-T-H-Y. It'll be a $1,000 cash winner in the National Cash Contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you up to $8,000 each weekday. Just listen on the 30s. Next chance coming up at the drive at 2:30. Text HEALTHY, H-E-A-L-T-H-Y, to 72881.
More or less tears if the Chiefs win in Miami.
Shock. Be more like, shock, won't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Honestly, I think it will be less tears, and I don't know if I would be as emotional even as I was for the title. Because the title game is like, is this? You're thinking, all right, just get over this hump, get there, don't come up short again. Now it's not that you're just, oh, I'm just happy to be here kind of thing. No, of course you want to win it, but I don't know if it'll be as emotional. It'll be more just exuberance than anything if you win it for the Super Bowl.
I'll be busy.
Well, like, we're all gonna be.
Yes,
we're all gonna
no,
be,
I understand.
I'm just talking
generally
in general.
Speaking, I think yes. I think there will be tears because I remember what it was like. I did radio from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. the night the Royals won the World Series. So I do recall what the experience was like for the fans leading into that moment as well. So I do understand that part of it. I do think there'll be plenty of tears. But there's a lot of people that it will be shock, and it'll just take some time to soak in as they think about parades and all the things that come with it. So I'm glad we're still going to talk about it for another week because excitement just keeps building each and every day.
You brought up the Royals and being on the radio when they won their World Series in 2015. We had Danny Duffy on the show right around this time yesterday, as a matter of fact, talking about what it was like to be in Kansas City, be part of a team in Kansas City, the whole city behind you to win a championship. And Whit Merrifield was on a podcast yesterday, the Clubhouse Corner, I believe it is, podcast.
Clubhouse Conversation.
Conversation podcast. And was asked about what it was like to be in an All-Star game, the experience of that. But then toward the end, he also did not hold anything back about his thoughts of not being on that 2018 All-Star game, and it all has to do with the Houston Astros and this cheating going on in Major League Baseball.
It was incredibly special. Just to kind of sit back and reflect on my journey throughout the course of my baseball life, to finally get to the peak of the profession, and to enjoy it with my family was something I'll always remember and always cherish. But going back to 2018, I'm going to consider myself an all-star with all this stuff that's come out about the Astros, because Jose Altuve took my spot that game. So I'll just we'll put an asterisk by 2018, and we'll take that 2018 all-star. And I'll, on top of it, we'll just go ahead and throw in a silver slugger for good measure.
That is not pulling a punch. Before we talk about it, I love what Witt said, and I am fully in support of it. I think because of what has happened, and there's a report from the Wall Street Journal about how it came to be that no players got punished. And when you look at the report, the simple explanation, because I thought that too, I'm like, boy, that's weird. So Hinch got punished, Coors getting punished, Beltran's getting punished, Lunau's out of a job, so, you know, how are all the players getting off so easy? Well, it wasn't until day and Jared Diamond's piece for the Wall Street Journal came out that it made it pretty clear that the reason the players got off is they were simply offered immunity for telling the truth about how the system was in place and how it was executed. So if they are not going to get punished, and it's pretty obvious they're not going to be because no one has been punished from a player side, then the only reasonable thing left to do for the players, if they're going to stand on their own 2 feet, is to trash them. And you should. They got no punishment for knowingly cheating for years, Gold. Years. I'm glad Whit Merrifield is willing to say that, because some players won't be, and he's the type of player who will.
I love the comment. I disagree. I think we're going to hear this more. I think as spring training gets closer and as players are back together, I think you'll
the
hear
Dodgers
this a little bit more.
Say something.
I would say if there's a team that has any, the Dodgers running into the Red Sox and Astros in the World Series and dealing with two teams and organizations that clearly were cheating. No, you have to love the comment if you're anybody that's not an Astros fan or if you're not Jose Altuve. If you're Jose Altuve, you better get used to this kind of stuff, because it's only going to continue. And I also think the Astros in baseball, the way they've the players involved, the way they've approached it from a PR route has been a disaster. Like, for example, the owner, Jim Crane of the Astros the other day even mentioned that they haven't had any players truly address and apologize. He said that we're going to have our guys involved apologize once spring training starts. Why would you wait 3 more weeks or whatever it is when they report and have them apologize then? Like Altuve, they had their fan fest deal, their equivalent to fan fest, a week or so ago. They didn't apologize. Altuve, in fact, said that he's going to be back in the World Series this year.
If you want to know the actual answer to why, other than, you know, like, I understand what you're like, why? Why is from a PR standpoint. They're hoping you'll forget. They're trying to give it, and people are bad about this. This is actually the right PR strategy. Wait as long as possible to pray that other people don't remember exactly what it is you're apologizing for, and that hopefully it will go away. And on top of that, you know that they'll go in there and they'll say, this is the one time I'm talking about it. I will not take any more questions about this. This is the one time that I will accept a question about this. 9 weeks after we've been accused about doing it, and people have already had to say what they have to say about it, they'll make sure that that is the only time they are willing to answer a question about it, which is also ridiculous. But good for Whit. I hope more players, we haven't heard a ton of this. We have seen a few. I saw Jake Diekman on Twitter for Royal last season, like post like, what the hell to the MLB and MLBPA working on a deal like that? And remember that Whit Merrifield is the representative for the Royals on the player side. He's part of that group. But that doesn't necessarily mean he was a part of the negotiation to just give him carte blanche. And it doesn't mean they're going to be let off the hook as a result of that. Alex Gordon was the player representative for a number of times. Whit is involved in some of those and is constantly a voice in the clubhouse and speaking to him to tell players about knowing their rights and knowing what they know within the system. But still, even given that, it just looks so shady.
No, Whit can say whatever he wants, and I loved it. I loved it. But on the flip side, I'll say this. As a player, as a current player, while you want the game to be clean and everything like that and not be cheating, at the same time, let's remember, though, if there was an immunity offered, and again, that's all reported, we don't know 100%.
Would they have told the truth?
Yeah, and you're not going to get, would we have got to this point where it would be, quote unquote, cleaned up? Would you have been able to move on if you're the Major League Baseball? Would you have been able to put pressure on the Astros and the Red Sox? Not that you couldn't put any punishment, but did they need some of that testimony, if you will, to make this possible, to where the punishments actually happened, to where it seemed as if the MLB was truly caring and putting down you know, a stiff penalty, even though I don't think the penalty was all that hard on the Astros, especially since they moved on from their two guys involved. Now they can act like, oh, there's two bad apples here. We took our fine. We took our loss of draft picks, and they can move on.
But that's the part that doesn't make sense. Rob Manfred has continued to reiterate that this was player-driven. 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 He said that multiple times.
Yes, but they probably had they clearly in their other investigations never had firm evidence. Their only evidence was directly from the players.
Yeah. Like, A.J. Hinch knew. They know that, and he didn't stop it enough, so he gets fired. Lunau knew he didn't stop it enough. Core was an active participant. He also, you know.
What I'm saying is they needed the players, though, in order to probably pursue it. That's why they had to offer it.
It's so crazy. It's like saying, yes, you're right, but it's like, hey, drug dealers, we need.
Oh, I know.
Like, the testimony worked, we need drug dealers to talk about the other drug, but you guys aren't in trouble. I understand that that's how, like, testifying up works.
Yes.
And that's how the criminal justice system applies to itself. It just feels like somehow you would have got a couple of players who were the most guilty hung up in this, and somehow it only went to the top.
Something that will follow Altuve till the end of his career, past his career, where you get into Hall of Fame discussions. This will be something that absolutely...
Beltran, too, by the way, who's a French Hall of Famer.
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you view it, that is definitely going to be something that follows them. You got people printing T-shirts, the Houston Astros, instead of the Houston Astros, all that kind of stuff. I can't,
prefer the
when
one
they go on the road,
the Trash-dros.
That works, too. Imagine on the road, the amount of people that... If this was minor league baseball, you could get away with it. MLB teams won't do that. If it was minor league baseball, you would totally have a promotion with, like, hand out mini trash cans that people could bang in the stands. Unfortunately, no major league team is going to do that, but that would be incredible.
Minor league baseball will do it, though. Anytime the Astros organization
the Corpus Christi, when the Corpus Christi, yeah, whatever their mascot is, when they come into town, just go ahead and do that. So, yeah, I love the comments, though, from Witt. Absolutely do. We were talking about trust in Garoppolo. On the flip side, the trust in Mahomes, as we were debating a little bit about that, I said, clearly you're not going to have as much trust in a Garoppolo if you're a head coach as you would right now in Mahomes, even though Mahomes is only in year two as a starter. He's already won an MVP. You look at what he's been able to do on the field. I think this goes back, though, to even year one as a starter for Mahomes, and ironically enough, when they faced the 49ers. And I don't think there's a ton of things directly in that one game, but what was said before to Pete Schrager. So Pete Schrager, NFL Network, does stuff for Fox as well. He happened to be the sideline reporter of that Chiefs-Niners game a year ago, the game that Garoppolo got hurt. It was very early in the season, week four, something like that. And he had met with Mahomes, and he had met with Andy Reid before the game. And to me, this puts more validation into the idea that the trust factor there of Reid and Mahomes compared to even a Garoppolo, for example. Just listen to what Pete Schrager had to say on Good Morning Football.
But my big takeaway from that weekend is when I had a production meeting with Andy Reid that Friday, and Reid, who I'd known very well for many years covering the NFL, pulled me aside and was like, you don't get it. It's not just the physical traits and the arm and the running ability. This kid might be the smartest quarterback I've ever had. And he says, I've had Alex Smith, I've had McNabb, and I've had Michael Vick, three of the best intellectual quarterbacks you could imagine in my offense. Just 3 weeks into this season, he said, I've got the full playbook, and he's already taken it. So when you hear that from the mastermind that is Andy Reid, and you hear it in a September football game with a second-year quarterback who had never started in front of his home crowd, and then you match it with the visuals of what he can do with his arm and with his legs and with all of those weapons, we knew something special was on the way. Even I, who thought that Mahomes would be the greatest thing last year before the MVP, like, I was like, just wait. Did not expect what we've seen the past years. He has exceeded even those expectations. But my big takeaway from that weekend and what's played out is what he's got up here. He can look at the entire playbook, retain it, and then be able to spit it out and master it. You never see Mahomes throw the bad pass, run the wrong route. He does not make mistakes, which makes Andy Reid's offense shimmer even brighter than it usually does.
He does occasionally throw a bad pass. He's good for like once every... Versus, I said, Garoppolo puts like two in the hands of the defenders. Mahomes, like every other game or every third game, he still makes a throw. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
And he's been fortunate at times where whether it's because of, you know, there's been a penalty on the play or whatever. And sometimes that gets into the risk. I do think he's very aware.
He's Aaron Rodgers-like in that sense. Obviously, he'll stop getting compared to other people and just be himself. But Rodgers was the first one I could remember in recent memory that took such advantage, as you said, as those like offsides penalties.
And so the trust that's there for Reid, and you heard it based off the intelligence of it. I mean, when you have somebody that Andy Reid, even this was a year, that's what's crazy to me about that story for Schrager. That was a year ago. That was before the MVP season that Andy Reid was already
in. Yes, essentially
in, sorry, week four. It was in the, but in still the, so early in the season. And I know he came. He had the great start to that
pretty
year.
Good start.
It was pretty ridiculous. So okay, during the what would be an MVP season for him to be talking in that way to members of the media in those production meetings, and Pete Schrager in this case, about the intelligence of Mahomes and saying, hey, you know, I've had Alex Smith, who everybody views as an extremely intelligent quarterback and an extremely intelligent human being, for him to have already said that. And now you fast forward, we're a year and a half later, they're in the Super Bowl, and you can imagine it's going to continue to grow. Like, that should give you the utmost trust and confidence in your quarterback. If now you're seeing it a year later, if he was already feeling that way, fast forward a year, how do you not feel even better about it? If you're Andy Reid as well. And that's why we've seen over time a little bit more trust, I'm sure, as well, just in terms of play calling and letting him do his thing.
That's the difference. And maybe that's where my lack of trust on the other side is coming from. When we were having that conversation about Garoppolo versus the flip side, one big shift I've seen from Andy and the way that he calls those late game situations here is, instead of like trying to design something where Patrick Mahomes, you know, the play is just kind of in front of him, right? He just gets to like make one decision and it's perfectly designed so that the running back flies out, gets the short pass, gets the yardage, and they move on. Then it's done. I think instead of that, and what we saw specifically in that Titans game, we've seen a lot more this season, and Serta and I talked more about during that game, and you and I talked about after that game, we were on extended post game, was they let him just stand back there and diagnose. It's not one read. It's not, and it wasn't one read for him early on, because obviously Pete Schrager's saying he was telling him that pretty early on. But it was legitimately like they just let him stand back there and choose between three or four people, which is difficult because you can't necessarily count on that against a 49ers pass rush like we're getting ready to see in the Super Bowl here coming up. It's hard to let him stand back there. You can't let him stand back there for as long. But he's one of the quicker decision makers they've had. And Andy does obviously trust him implicitly, but that does say a lot. It says a lot that Andy was saying that early on in the season, and now obviously Schrager willing to share that now. And Schrager is
it's not a
fanboy or whatever, but that's fine.
And people in Kansas City love him for that, right? I mean, anytime Schrager says something, and you know, it was last week he was wearing a Daniel Sorensen jersey and talking about Dirty Dan. Yeah, after what he was able to do against the Texans heading into that Titans game. So yeah, I thought that was interesting from Schrager as well. And you know, we've talked so much about starting fast, and you heard players today out at Arrowhead, as a matter of fact, talk about, and coaches talk about, the need to start fast, but also that there's not the panic, obviously. Eric Bieniemy was asked about, does this team need to start fast? And he essentially said, you know, it's okay if we don't, but basically they need to be able to move on and shift to that next play. You heard Spags talking about it as well, and the impact that not starting quick has on their defense and how that can potentially open things up. Do they need to start fast? We all realize you would rather be up 14-0 than down 14-0. I mean, clearly, that is the scenario.
I would prefer it.
Yeah. Sign me up for that, please. Super Bowl 54. I would rather take that midway through the first quarter, up 14-0 instead of down 14-0. But when you view what's happened the last 2 weeks, it's easy for you to say, okay, no lead is insurmountable. And I agree with that because of Patrick Mahomes. But at the same time, the Texans, the Titans are one thing. The 49ers with that defense, the 49ers that were on the NFC side viewed as the best team in football for the most of this season, if not all of the season. A 49ers team that has Kyle Shanahan instead of Bill O'Brien as their head coach. I like Vrabel, but give me Kyle Shanahan, of course, the offensive mind that he has, the experience that he has, even if it didn't turn out well as an OC in the Super Bowl with the Falcons and the 28-3 lead and everything like that. I just think it is even more important in this one, not just because it's the Super Bowl, but because of the opponent you face. The need for a fast start is that much more important just because of who you're going up against.
I understand that part of it, like the buildup of the Super Bowl. I do. I do understand that, you know, when we've had this conversation, what you're discussing is, it's the Super Bowl. Don't screw it up. Don't start slow. I just don't think that this team necessarily operates the same versus others. Like, in my mind, they don't operate or play by the same rules that the teams that had previously been held to standard before did. Simply put, I think that the way that their situation is that they are in a position with Patrick Mahomes and where they've been able to come back from games that it doesn't really matter. Now, I'm not saying they need to get down 24, and I wouldn't predict them to win if they got down 24 to the 49ers, but I do think that a large majority of what that start fast part is mostly self-inflicted. So if they get down a touchdown or 10 points at 17-7 in the second quarter and they got the ball back, I'm going to assume, again, it's self-inflicted. Because I haven't seen a team this year, other than, I don't know, probably that Colts game, where I felt like someone completely dictated the pace for a large majority of it. People have run well against them. People have had good games against them. They've certainly lost games. We've spent plenty of time talking about how they lost to the Texans and the Titans. But I haven't watched anybody dictate the action to them in a while. Sometimes they play on their terms for a little bit, but so often, even in these postseason games, it's just shooting themselves in the foot, which means stop doing that and things are fine. I'm just saying slow start. Well, what if you just keep doing things that are wrong? Well, then the start has nothing to do with it.
That's just you had a terrible game.
They haven't been stopped or prevented from solving those problems later on. So I just don't think that the fast start is it, because I think that they will cure those problems. Like, my thought is they will fix those issues if those issues arise.
So yours is more not do they need to start. Yours is just that you don't think they're going to start slow this go around is what it sounds like, too. Because you think so much of it. And I agree on the part that you go to the Texans game and we know how that's their drops and special teams errors and all that. It's not so much that you feel they need to start fast. You just don't think they're going to start slow anymore.
Well, I don't think it matters if they do start slow, because, again, I think it'd be self-inflicted. So I don't think that.
But isn't, to me, the Niners are, and I know the Texans.
A team you can't afford to do that against?
And I know the Texans capitalized on the mistakes, or they were up 24-0 for a reason. So I don't want to act like no other teams were capitalizing on the Chiefs' mistakes. Clearly they were. But I do feel like it is way more devastating against a Niners team than it is against a Texans team.
I think it's more. I just think that I'm far less down that camp than you are. Like, I obviously think that it's preferable to start fast.
No brainer.
I just don't think it's as devastating as, I don't know, most people, I guess. Because even, sir, I don't remember exactly where you were, but even you think that a slow start versus this team would be worse than what, you know, maybe I'm making it out to be.
Yeah, because I think that they do have the defense that can genuinely give you problems. Like, we talked all week long headed into the Titans game. Like, there was a little bit of hype around the Titans defense, and I was trying to figure out why, because the Titans defense wasn't particularly good all during the regular season. Same thing can be said about the Texans. Their defense is going to give the Chiefs some problems. But that being said, I still think the Chiefs are fully capable of putting up 35 points in this game. But that I just don't think it's going to come as easy as it has in the last two games.
It was Bill Belichick a year ago even saying that he doesn't think historically there's ever been a better fast-starting team than the Chiefs, which is interesting because Andy Reid last year was great in the first quarter. This year we know first quarter's been an issue, but they've been so good in the second quarter. So that wouldn't be a fast start. But historically, everybody views Andy Reid as a guy that first 15 plays gets off to a quick start, and that necessarily hasn't been the case as much this year. Again, I'm not sitting here telling you that they're going to lose the game if they're down 10-0. That's not what I'm saying.
No,
either.
I know. And I wouldn't expect you to take it that far either. I just wouldn't. I think it'd be fine. I think you'll be fine. It'll be okay. Don't worry if they don't start.
I'm good.
The final word.
So, I don't know if you guys happened to catch it, but Zion Williamson made his NBA debut last night.
Oh, that was last night, huh?
He was moving kind of slow.
He's a big guy, but we knew that coming out of college. We knew that he was a hefty superstar, if you want to call him that.
Hefty.
You know, everybody was crushing Mark Jackson because 4 minutes in the game, Mark Jackson basically called him fat on the broadcast. This dude's going to be a star. It probably is in his best interest because he's such a massive human being that he keeps getting hurt. I need him to stay healthy because he is going to be incredible. He's just 285 pounds, and he was 4 for 4 from three last night, just drilling threes from downtown. It was ridiculous. He scored 17 straight points in the fourth quarter, wound up with 22 on the night. Zion's going to be incredible. I can't wait to watch this dude continue to play. I don't even want him to tone up, to be completely honest. I'm perfectly fine with him
just being
pushing 300 pounds and drilling threes in people's face and still being able to jump through the roof.
I did hear Charles Barkley on the Conan O'Brien podcast tell him, though, that someone told him he couldn't keep playing at 320
Well, that's
pounds.
My question. Like, he was fun to watch. I watched the highlights, but I do wonder 4 or 5 years from now, are we saying he's able to stay healthy? That's my concern there. But it was fun to watch last night. It'll be fun to watch, hopefully, for years to come. That's going to do it for us here on Cody and Gold. Coming up next, it's The Drive.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.